أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات. We were discussing the distribution of iman and faith on the various parts of the human body in the previous lesson, and we did talk about a little bit on how everything starts with the qalb, and if the qalb is engaged in the dhikr and remembrance of Allah, then all parts of the body will follow. And the tongue, the hand, the feet, the stomach, the behavior of a person in his family life and his social life, everything has a share of iman in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. So we are supposed to say what is good to the people. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَقُولُوا آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَإِلَيْكُمْ وَإِلَهُنَا وَإِلَهُكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. So we announce that we have the iman and faith on what has been revealed upon us and what is revealed upon you, and our Lord and your Lord is one, and we are, you know, having taslim, submission towards Him. Also, when it comes to the ears of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Holy Prophet that قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. Say that Prophet listens to what is best for you. And also Allah has said, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. So give glad tidings and basharat to those servants of mine who listen to variety of statements, but they follow the best of it. So we are supposed to pick and choose what we are supposed to hear and what not, what we are supposed to say and what not, and where we are supposed to sit. And we discussed that as well in the previous Thursday, and we were talking about where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَقَدْ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So if shaitan makes you forget, don't sit after you are reminded, after you recall, don't sit with the ظالم people. So likewise, أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. If you hear ayat and signs of Allah denied, يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا, and they are ridiculed, made fun of, then don't sit with them. That means don't sit with those people who are making fun of the ayat of Allah. And حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they engage in some other talk, in some other thing. If they start talking about something else, discussing something else, then you can continue. Otherwise, if they continue to insult the ayat of Allah or deny it, then we won't sit with those people. And the ayat from the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, which says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qad aflaha al-Mu'minun. That means certainly, after Bismillah, certainly the believers got succeeded. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are fearful in their prayers. خُشُوء. We know that خُشُوء is something which is in the qalb. You know, خُضُوء is in the jawarih, and خُشُوء is in the jawanih, means the qalb. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. So those people who are, who keep away from laghu. Laghu has a very elaborate discussion in tafsir, in various tafsir of our scholars. You find laghu have been elaborately discussed. What is the concept of laghu? It is a wide concept that includes several things. Some of the mufassirin say laghu means anything which does not have a hadaf, a goal. Some of mufassirin say the laghu means anything which has no benefit. Some of the mufassirin say laghu is something which has no significant benefit. Some of the mufassirin say that laghu means anything which has غَيَةٌ خِيَالِيَّةٌ, which has an imaginative goal only. Things which have imaginative goals, nothing to do with the real life on the ground. Things which have just imaginary goals. If we are pursuing doing things, performing things in our life which have nothing, no benefit for our everyday life, just imaginary benefits, imaginary goals, you know, in our minds, then this is what is called laghu. Some of the mufassirin say laghu means batil. So any batil action that we do in our life is part of laghu. We need to avoid things which are batil and falsehood. Some of the mufassirin say that laghu means all the sins. So all the sins need to be avoided. So if every sin falls in the category of laghu, it means we need to avoid things which are obviously condemned, prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the mufassirin have also said that laghu means shirk. So associating partners with Allah. And some mufassirin say that all these meanings which I have just mentioned to you in the long list, they are all part of the great concept, the wide concept of laghu. All of these things are included, without excluding. Which seems to be very much, right. Because if you look at the teachings of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you will find they were avoiding all these things. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. So mu'min people are the ones who are avoiding sins, they're avoiding batil, they're avoiding shirk, they're avoiding actions of their life which have imaginary goals. So they are people of real life. They embrace realities, they face the realities, they are ready to face the truth on the ground. They're not just living in a world of fantasy, ignoring the truths. So they avoid the sins and they avoid doing action which has no significant benefit. Well, that's how an akil person is. That's how an intellectual person is. An intellectual person is somebody who never performs, things which have no benefit. This is how, we become resembling to non-humans. Isn't it right? Even not every non-human, not all the animals do things. And even animals are doing things because they are pursuing their own goals that Allah have commanded them in the wahyun takwini towards the animals. So even not, we can't say that the animals are doing, like this. إِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ Surah Al-Qasas, verse 55. So see, that's how when they hear the lahu, they أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ, they turn away from it and said, قَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. So our actions are with us, your actions are with you. So basically we are going to follow our own path, you follow your path. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When they walk along, with the lahu, they pass by nobly, with nobility. That's how the mu'mineen are. That's how the believers are. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obviously, Islam is a religion having elaborate teachings of al-alaqat al-ijtima'iyyah. That means how we interact with each other in a society where we are living. Islam is a religion of society. When we say about keeping away from dunya, some people misunderstand and misinterpret that keeping away from dunya means keeping away from the mujtama, from the society. This is not what Islam means at all. Not at all. None of the prophets of God, 124,000 of them, none of the prophets of God lived a life by keeping away from the society. But all of them lived a life by keeping away from dunya. So there is a fine line between keeping away from dunya means not getting attached to its material belongings, and keeping away from mujtama and society means that you are running away from your duties, basically, because so many things of Islam are social in nature and political in nature. Isn't it right? 90% or more than the 90%. I'm actually mentioning maybe less, because it's more than 90%. But, way more than that. And so at least 90% or more of the rulings of our Sharia are social in nature and political in nature. Even those of the rulings that people with their own understandings perceive that it's entirely infiradi and personal thing of Islam, it's nothing to do with the society. It has something to do with the society. Some aspect of it is still related to the society, which they don't pay attention to it or they don't know it. So it's very, very difficult to single out a ruling of Islam which has nothing to do with society. Very difficult, or maybe impossible. So basically Islamic rulings are social in nature and political in nature. What our fuqaha say, that al-siyasatu dakhilatun fi nasjil Islam. Siyasat is, politics is part of the fabric of Islam. If you remove the political and social obligation of Islam, this is just like a ripped apart fabric with no benefit remaining for that fabric. We just throw it away, isn't it right? If your shirt is ripped apart and you cannot even stitch it, its threads are just broken from each other, it's unusable, it's useless thing. Islam would no longer be a religion if you remove politics and social duties out of Islam. So we find that even eating food, a very simple example, people may perceive that eating food is my personal thing. It's not personal at all. Didn't Imam Ali alayhi salam say when he's writing his letter to Munzir ibn Jarud. Isn't it right? Munzir ibn Jarud is one of the wali, one of the wulat, one of the governors of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he was invited by a rich person in the town, and he accepted the invitation. And that invitation, and in that gathering, this rich guy invited only the rich people, ignored the poor. This behavior is condemned in the seerat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. They never used to hang around and sit in gatherings which are rich only gatherings. This is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ali alayhi salam had his own spies, and he in Nahjul Balagha is the evidence. And as soon as the news reaches Imam Ali alayhi salam from authentic and reliable source, he sends a message directly, immediate message to Munzir ibn Jarud that, he says that, مَا ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّكَ تُجِيبُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ قَوْمٍ عَائِلُهُمْ مَجْفُو وَغَنِيُّهُمْ مَدْعُو. I never thought you will attend a gathering where عَائِلُهُمْ مَجْفُو, they're poor, that mean poor of that town are blocked to attend, وَغَنِيُّهُمْ مَدْعُو, and the rich of those of that area, those town, are invited. You know, and he says that أَأَقْنَعُ مِن نَفْسِي بِأَنْ يُقَالَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا أُشَارِكُهُمْ فِي مَكَارِهِ الدَّهْرِ. Shall I suffice it for myself? I consider it sufficient for me that now people have started to call me Amirul Mu'mineen. He's talking about the time when it's his khilafat and his government, isn't it right? Now in the fourth place, Muslims finally realized their mistake and they came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, did the bay'at. Imam Ali now is, now is accepted by the people finally. So he's now the Khalifa. He was the Khalifa, but people did not accept. They did harm to their own selves because of their jahl. So now in those days when he's the ruler, he's talking about in those days, those times. So now he says, shall I consider it to be sufficient that people call me Amir al-Mu'mineen? وَلَا أُشَارِكُهُمْ فِي مَكَارِهِ الدَّهَرِ, and I don't participate with them in the hardships of the time. أَبِيتُ مِبْطَانًا, shall I sleep with my stomach full? We are talking about eating food, isn't it right? That people think it's a personal thing of Islam. Now look at how many social aspects just the food has. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Aba abitu mibtanan, shall I go to sleep with my stomach full? Abitu mibtanan, wa hawli butunun gharsa wa akbadun harra, and around me are empty stomachs and basically people who are hungry, in other words. And وَلَعَلَّ بِالْحِجَازِ أَوِ الْيَمَامَةِ مَنْ لَا طَمَعَ لَهُ فِي الْقُرْسِ. And maybe in Hijaz or in Yamama, there is somebody who doesn't even remember when did he ate full for them the last time. That means so much hungry people are around there in the Islamic country, in the Islamic Ummah, and me as a leader, shall I just eat my food, make my stomach full, and just ignore the hardships of the rest of the people just because now I'm a ruler and people call me Amir al-Mu'mineen? So even eating food has everything to do with the society. So Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, when he was eating food, he used to, before starting the food, he used to gather the best of the foods from the ma'ida, from the food spread, put it in a plate, and gather it in a plate or in a bowl, and used to send it to the masakin and fuqara of the city first. And then he used to start eating food himself. And read this ayat of Quran, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةَ. So, food has everything to do with the society, isn't it right? Obviously, apart from eating the food, we have elaborate principles, if you find in our fiqh,
We have a whole chapter, Kitabul At'ama wal Ashriba, in our fiqh. And you can find huge bulk of rulings about what to do, and the adab and etiquettes and the ahkam, and rulings about eating food. You know, once we have in the hadith that shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for every creature you made a risk, for every creature you provided a risk of sustenance, food. So what is my food? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, "Ma lam yuzkar alayhi ismi." So that means that any food upon which my name is not mentioned. So when we start eating the food and we don't remember Allah, and we start eating it, now shaitan is a partner with this food. This is his food. This is the risk from Allah for shaitan. He's a shariq. He's a partner in that food. So we need to be very particular in Islamic teachings. All of them, almost all of them, or all of them have link and connection with the society, social and political aspects. Islam is a religion of ijtima'. Islam is not a religion of isolation from the society, ignoring the help you may have provided to the rest of the people in the society. There is a whole bunch of social and political obligations which are more important than the personal obligations of Islam. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. So don't walk on earth with arrogance, takabbur, and arrogance. You're not never going to rip open the earth. Yeah. So, in other words, so we have elaborate teachings about what we are supposed to do with our ears, how we are supposed to behave with our qalb, how we are supposed to behave with our hands, how we are supposed to behave with our eyes. Quran says in Surah An-Nur, verse 29, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the mu'mineen, that means they lower their gaze, they lower their eyes, in other words. So, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. So, in another verse, Surah An-Nur, verse number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to the mu'min woman, lower their gaze. So these are the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are having hikmat and benefit if we apply in our everyday life. Another verse from the Holy Quran says that وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. As we are discussing the role of the parts of the body and how iman and faith is a concept which is distributed to various parts of the human body. So Quran says in another verse, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. So don't follow, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't follow what you don't have knowledge about. If you don't know, don't follow. Which is so good, you know, because if you don't know something, then don't do nothing. This is the best way, until you know. So know before you go. If you don't know, you're not supposed to do anything. If you remember, I had mentioned in one of my previous speeches the call, the statement of Ayatollah al-Uzma Bahjat rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great Urafa, where he had said that the duty of Ahlul Yaqeen, a person who has Yaqeen, is his job in Islam to do Taqaddum. Taqaddum means taking a step forward. Taqaddum, taking a step forward, that's what Islam asks a person who has Yaqeen to do that. If you are not Ahlul Yaqeen, you don't have the right of taqaddum in Islam. You cannot take a step forward. Your duty is tawakkuf, stay put, until you convert your dhan or shak or waham into yaqeen first, and then you take a step forward. So every step in madhab al-tashayyu is based on yaqeen, because we are ahl al-yaqeen. Our religion belongs to yaqeen. Everything of our faith and actions has to be based on solid yaqeen.
وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ.
And the ears of a person, the eyes of the person, the heart of a person, they are all mas'ool and held accountable. They will be answerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So we find that Islam has these elaborate rulings for which is for every part of our body. I have when we start the interaction with the people, the first thing it comes starts with salam. Salam is in Islam, it's not just salam, but it is ifsha salam in our Islamic morality. Islamic morality teaches us that we need to do ifsha salam. Ifsha salam means expressly saying the salam. So we need to express it, we need to initiate it. That's how the Prophet was. And the hadith of Rasulullah in Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 8, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Awla al-nas billah wa bi rasulihi man bada'a bis salam. That means the closest person towards Allah and His Messenger is the one who starts the salam, initiates the salam. So first thing, see, when we meet with each other, we are supposed to say salam. Another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, ابدأوا بالسلام قبل الكلام. That means start the salam before talking. فَمَنْ بَدَأَ بِالْكَلَامِ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ فَلَا تُجِيبُوهُ. Whoever starts talking before saying salam, don't reply to him. So these are basic rulings of Islam. You have to first say salam before talking with about any other thing. So if you start conversation without saying salam, your mukhatab, your listener is not obliged to reply back to you. You know. So another hadith from Tuhaf al-Uqul from Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, لِلسَّلَامِ السَّبْعُونَ حَسَنَةً. That means salam has 70 rewards. تِسْعُنْ وَسِتُونَ لِلْمُبْتَدِي. 69 rewards are for the initiator, the person who initiates the salam, starts the salam, the person who says to you, Assalamu alaikum, or Salamun alaikum. So he gets 69 of hasanat. وَوَحِدَةٌ لِلرَّاد. And one, that means the last reward, the 70th one, is for the person who replies back. You are doing, the person who is saying salam is doing a mustahab. Isn't it right? That's what our fuqaha say, that mustahabbat are more important than the wajibat. From this jihad. Because wajibat, you have to do anyway. You are obliged. Isn't it right? You have no other option. If you don't do, you will be punished. But mustahabbat are more important because you're not obliged to do. So now you're going an extra mile. You're doing more than what you were obliged. You're getting a higher merit in the eyes of Allah because you're doing and going an extra mile. So the salam is one of the... And so many mustahab things in Islam have more reward than so many of the wajib things. Salatul Fajr is wajib in Islam, but the reward of Salatul Layl is way more than Salatul Fajr. Isn't it right? So we have so many mustahab things which have so much more reward than so many other wajib things. So don't think just because one thing is a wajib so the reward is higher. No. Mustahabbat need to be remembered. Actually, our urafa, they have this criteria and mizan. To when they want to find out whether their children are saliheen, they're good doers, and you know, or not, they find out, they see whether their children pray the Salatul Layl, the night prayers, or not. Night prayers is one of the extremely important Islamic mustahab rulings.
which requires tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everybody gets the tawfiq. Just like this person came to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and said, I am mahroom, I am deprived from Salatul Layl, I don't wake up. And Imam Ali, I don't wake up for the night prayers. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him that anta rajulun qad qayyadatka zunubuka, you are a person that your sins have captured you, have seized you. So because of the sins, basically we don't get the tawfiq from Allah to wake up. So if we do the tawbah before sleeping, we will get the tawfiq to wake up. And this is not part of the hadith, I am explaining to you. So salam, it never happened in the life of the Prophet that somebody took a lead over him, sabqat. He used to say salam even to the children. This part of the tawadhu and modesty of a person, that he says salam to everybody. And Islam says if you are coming in a gathering, you say salam to those who are sitting. If you are riding a horse, you are riding your car, you say salam to the person who is standing on his feet. He's not riding, you say salam to him. So and ifsha bis salam, expressly saying it, one of the benefits of that is that it ihtimalan is that it removes the takabbur from the qalb of a person. It makes you mutawadhi and humble before. Because some people think, if I say salam, I'm not a big shot, I'm not a big guy, because I have to say it, he has to say salam to me, why should I say it? So when you expressly say assalamu alaikum, that means you're not holding any highness for yourself. You're ready to humble down and bring you down to earth, yourself down to earth, and initiate it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the sabqat. Sabqat and lead over everyone in all the khairat, in all the good deeds, isn't that right? So we learn, which is madmoon riwaya, in the hadith, madmoon riwaya that I am explaining, we learn in the light of that hadith that al jannatu muharramatun ala al anbiya hatta adkhulaha. Jannat is haram on all the prophets until I enter into it. Prophet has taken the lead and all the prophets, and our Prophet has taken the lead in all the prophets and every khair. Isn't that right? So everyone who learned about Islam and the beautiful teachings and the moralities and the akhlaq and values of Islam is because of him. So he deserves to enter the paradise ahead of everyone else. And also in the light of the same hadith, we learn that that Jannat is haram ala kullil umam hatta tadkhulaha shi'atuna ahlal bayt. Until the followers of us, Jannat is haram on all the nations until the followers of us ahlal bayt enter. So and likewise, Islam says about when we are talking the interactions with the people, al-wadadu ma'an-nas, that means dealing with the people in a loving and friendly and amicable way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, that's in Al-Kafi volume 2, amarani rabbi bimudarati nas kama amarani bil fara'id. Allah commanded me about mudarat, dealing with people in a loving way, in a nice way, just like Allah commanded me about fara'id, means duties. When our Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِذَا أَحْبَبْتَ رَجُلًا فَأَخْبِرْهُ بِذَلِكَ, if you love somebody, a man, you know, another mu'min person, in other words, inform him, أَخْبِرْهُ بِذَلِكَ, inform him about that, فَإِنَّهُ أَثْبَتْ لِلْمَوَدَّةِ بَيْنَكُمَا, because this is makes your you know, loving love stronger, in other words. And another hadith, as we are discussing interactions with the people, you know, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says this in Wasail al-Shia, that ma safaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi wa alihi rajulan qat fanaza'a yadahu hatta yakuna huwa alladhi yanza'u yadahu minhu.
So whenever a prophet used to shake hand with somebody, he was never the first person to take away his hand. Until that person takes his hand away, prophet never initiated in taking his hand away in musafaha and handshaking. So look at this behavior towards the people that he had. To that the extent of those minor delicacies of our interaction, that how lovingly and amicably he is behaving with the people. إصلاح ذات البين. I think we can discuss at least this, and we will continue with the rest in the later on, inshallah. إصلاح ذات البين is one of the extremely emphasized, mustahabbat, and in some cases it may be wajib as well. It depends on the mawrid and, you know, situation. So إصلاح ذات البين means correcting the bad relationships between people. If you find a husband and wife have a fight, controversy, conflict, and you go and fix their relationship so they can live a normal life, this is إصلاح in Arabic, correcting. But we are not talking about إصلاح, we are talking about إصلاح ذات البين. When you say إصلاح ذات البين, it means in the tafsir, our scholars say, إصلاح ذات البين, my teacher was saying, it means that you root out the root cause of the conflict. That means not just you fix it from the surface, but you take the root cause out. You root out, you take the roots of the conflict out from the middle. This is called إصلاح ذات البين. So if somebody performs إصلاح ذات البين, this has more reward من عامة الصلاة والصيام, from 1 year of prayers and fasting. Just imagine a person is praying and fasting for one full year, how much reward he's gaining, and تقرب and قربت and closeness towards Allah. One إصلاح ذات البين has more reward than 1 year of prayers and fasting. So again, didn't I say that Islamic teachings have everything to do with the society? Isn't that right? So you are just fixing, a relationship between two people, and look at the importance that your personal prayers, which are actually not personal, and prayers are never personal in nature in the real sense, and fasting is never personal in nature in the real sense of the concept of fasting, but some people perceive that these are personal obligations of Islam. It has nothing to do with the society or the politics. Right from the beginning of Salat, when we say Allahu Akbar, isn't that right? We are negating all the false gods and all the tawaghit, and all our desires and personal wishes, and our hawa nafs, and everything that can block us from obeying Allah, our Creator. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, and that's in Bihar, volume 72, that this is in volume 76. وَمَنْ مَشَى فِي إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ إِمْرَأَةٍ وَزَوْجِهَا. Whoever walks for correcting, that means repairing and fixing the relation between a woman and her husband, in other words. أَعْتَاهُ اللَّهُ أَجْرَ أَلْفِ شَهِيدٍ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَقًّا. Allah gives him the reward of 1,000 martyrs who were killed in the path of Allah rightfully.
So we have people who are getting killed wrongfully, isn't it right? Wasting their lives on batil. But there are people who are giving their life for a noble cause, what Allah considers to be a noble cause. They are dying on haqq. وَكَانَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا وَكَلِمَةٍ أَوْ كَلِمَةٍ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَا فِي ذَلِكَ عِبَادَةُ سَنَى قِيَامٌ لَيْلُهَا وَصِيَامٌ نَهَارُهَا. So for this person who is walking for the sake of correcting the affairs between a husband and a wife, so see, the hadith did not say that he ended up, the job gets done, assignment is taken care of, and the islah has already happened. No, that's not what the hadith said. Hadith says this guy is walking for that sake, walking for correcting, isn't it right? So the correction has not yet happened. Just you are trying, you are doing your effort, you are walking for that reason, you get out of your house with that intention to make a islah and correction between the affairs of a husband and a wife. And this is the reward of your walking for that sake. So, for every step that he takes, بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا أَوْ تِكَلِمَةٍ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَا, for every word that he has said, فِي ذَلِكَ, in that regard, he will get the ibadat, in other words, he'll get the reward of doing worship of Allah for a year, and a year, excuse me, a year in such a way that qiyamun layluha, all the nights of that year where he was standing up, wa siyamun naharuha, and in the daytimes of that year he was fasting. This is the reward of a person who, for every step, for every word that he speaks in this matter. Also, another hadith from Rasulullah says, "Kullu al-kadhib yuktabu ala ibn Adama illa rajulun kadhiba bayna rajulain yuslihu baynahuma." So every kadhib is written against a human, son of Adam, except the kadhib that he says to correct the affairs, to is for the islah between them, between two men. So this is how Islam is emphasizing us and giving extraordinary rewards for basically positive and noble and respectful interaction with each other in the society. Inshallah, we will continue with the rest, inshallah, in the future. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. If you have any question regarding the speech, we have 5 minutes for that. Yeah, please go ahead.